You're listening to Nonprofit Unplugged with your host, the number one nonprofit lady, Shakira Relaford. This show teaches you how to start and grow your nonprofit with ease. Simply put, this is Nonprofit Made Easy.
Welcome back to Nonprofit Unplugged. This is your number one nonprofit lady here, and I'm solo dolo today. I'm all on my own. I was talking to a prospective client recently, and this person made a post in a group on social media, and they said that, you know, they have a really hard time trusting people. And was it possible to run their nonprofit without having a board? And I basically commented and I said, yeah, but good luck, because you need community. If you want things to shake up and happen, you have to have a community. You cannot be a one-man band. It just isn't going to be that successful. So I was thinking, you know, the person said that they don't trust, not necessarily that they have trust issues, but they don't trust that their board members, if they were to get a board members, they don't trust that their board will be able to execute the expectations that are set for them. And so I thought about this, and there was an article that came out from Nonprofit Pro. An article, I think it looks like it was released in the last couple of weeks by Elizabeth Abel. Shout out to Elizabeth Abel. She is the Senior Vice President of CCS Fundraising, and she's also an expert in philanthropy. I have not met her yet, but I'm excited to one day. If you are listening, or if someone tags you or shouts you out, you know, hit me up. I love to talk. But she wrote this article, and I'm just going to highlight a few of her points that she said in the article. I thought it was really good to think about how to get your board members engaged. The link will be in the description, so look for that, and you can download your own book. The freebie will be in the description, so you can download it and check it out for yourself. Your board members are there to, first of all, you need to understand what the point of the board is. Okay. Your board is responsible for the fundraising and helping with managing operational component or capacity of the organization. Okay. It's not the founder or CEO's job to do that, or executive director's job to do that. Their role is to execute the plan. But as far as establishing that plan, the board comes together with the exec, and they agree and what that on organizational capacity, what that looks like. Now, that plan is called a strategic plan. In the business entrepreneurship world, it's considered a business plan. Either way, it's a plan set in motion, okay, that it's a living, breathing plan, active document, essentially, that needs to be, those steps and those strategies within that plan needs to be taking place. What I like to do when I'm working with a client and we are establishing the nonprofit, we don't just do a strategic plan. We also do a fundraising plan. We do a marketing plan. All those things, all those components, right, helps to make up the overall organization. You need to know what you're doing at all times. I hear this all the time. I get this question a lot when you know, executive directors are like, oh my God, Shakira, I started the nonprofit. I did the 501c3 tax exemption. We got our determination letter. What do I do next? Implement your plan. What do you mean? Why don't you have that in place? Right. And I'm not faulting anyone on this episode at all, but that is something that gets easily ignored and pushed off to the back burner because it's not quote unquote as of importance. That is far from the truth. Without a plan, you don't know what you're doing. You are just wandering, and you don't want to be wandering. You need to know exactly what you're doing at all times. And that includes funding. Fundraising is not just having an event to raise money. Grants fall under fundraising, fund development. Okay, I had an episode about this. You're not putting together ways or creating events, right, for people to just donate. You're not just throwing a link out there and expecting people to give based on your mission, right? You have to put together some type of fund development plan so you know who's doing what in what part of the plan and the why to your to what you're doing. That makes sense. It make it make sense for you. That makes sense. Okay. So your board, you and the board have to sit down and come up with a plan. You can't do that all on your own. And you can't tell ChatGPT or any other AI software to just come up with a strategic plan for you. You have to, here's the thing when it comes to AI engineering, because I've been doing AI engineering now for about a year, like truly studying the engineering component of the AI. I love it. I also was on some, you know, I can't really disclose, but some private AI-based research, okay? So, and that's been now 2.5 years. So I've learned a lot when it comes to AI engineering. And one thing I do know about AI engineering, which I think this is what makes me really, really good at what I do, is, again, I just as much as I have to train the behavior of a human being as a behavior analyst, I also have to train the behavior of AI. AI is smart because it's been programmed to be smart, but it's not programmed to follow the functionality of human behavior. You still have to teach it and train it to do what it is that you want it to do. So you can't just throw in ChatGPT, you know, strategic plan for X organization. You have to train and feed, right, code that AI into what your mission and your vision is and why they need to create, you know, you're talking through what their component of what you want them to do. Okay. So you got, when AI is very efficient and effective when done correctly. When done correctly. Okay. I digress. Moving on. Right. So anyway, you have to sit down with a team. The point is this: AI can only get you so far. You need to have community. The people you're serving is community. So what, are you just going to have the nonprofit and you're going to tell the people that you serve, I can't give you the services you want because I don't trust? That doesn't make sense, does it? Right? So work to deal with any other trust issues you may have with human beings, right? Go through and heal from those traumatic or past experiences so you can be an effective leader for your future. Moving on. Some ways, though, that you can engage your board members is also to remember that your board members are natural storytellers, to be honest. Everyone right now that's in your organization is a storyteller. You are sharing, right, from your perspective, your point of view, from your heart, why you are in support of this mission, why are you in support of this organization and the programs that they have or want to start. If you are serving on a board or if you are a board member, an organization that works with addictions, what is it about this organization that draws you to them? Is it because you have a brother or sister or sibling or somebody and you're a relative who's, you know, recovering from drugs or a current drug addict? Are you compassionate about what you've seen? Are you a teacher who teaches youth? So anywhere from K to 12, and you see the effects of what addictions can do indirectly to children. And that's where you're connecting. Share that. That's what you share. That story, those lived experiences, is what's going to draw in the funds. Guarantee. Never fails. Okay. The primary role and responsibility of the board is to support the organization's strategic direction, right? Which is what I had mentioned. This is what Elizabeth is saying. Support the strategic direction. I definitely just went on a spiel about that, right? They also are to provide financial oversight and accountability. They, yes, do need to provide finances to the board, to the organization, but they are overseeing, right, the funds. Where is the money going? Okay. To oversee whether an the third thing Elizabeth says is that they need to oversee whether an organization has the philanthropic resources required for the work. It's not about getting the grant. Before you get the grant, you need to ensure you have the capacity to do so. Okay. So what are some practical ways? Elizabeth gives practical ways to engage your board in fundraising efforts. Okay. So number one, she says, share their personal story. Have your board share their personal story, their personal connection, right? To the mission specifically, to the organization specifically, whatever resonates with them. Share those experiences with potential donors. Okay. Next, introduce new potential donors, right? To what you have going on. If you're just talking to a stranger in person or at random or whatever, okay, facilitate an introductory seminar about who we are, what we do, and how we serve kind of deal. You can do that on a webinar. Have your board members sit down to work together, put together a webinar. What you can do is put together a pitch deck and then present the pitch deck as your webinar. Right? It's to help draw people who may be interested in what you have in, and then they can learn or get a crash course, right, of the organization and what it is that you do and all that stuff. Okay? You could totally host events. You could host events. They could be in person, they can be virtual, but this would be an opportunity for those new and potential donors to meet the CEO, to meet the executive directors, to meet the upper heads, right? To even meet the community members that you're serving. So that way the fundraising can feel authentic. It is authentic that way versus saying, hey, support our cause, ha, you know, with a sign. You have met the people. You know what they're going through. You have empathized with them. You sat with them. You've prayed for them. You've cried with them. Whatever it is, you have a connection to the community you're serving at large. So it'll be a no-brainer, right, to be able to share that with someone else and create social media posts and campaigns around those moments in this experiences and vulnerabilities. That's what other people connect with. People connect with that. Okay. Number four, she offers lead peer-to-peer solicitations. Peer-to-peer fundraising is just an easy fail-proof way to get as many people involved fundraising on your behalf all at the same time without you having to do all the work. Okay. This is one of the most powerful things or options, right, that a board has and can do. This helps to invite other potential donors to join in a collaborative effort. And this also signals the potential donor that they are not alone in making a meaningful gift toward an organization. Okay, or for a cause. Everyone's in this together. What's an example of a peer-to-peer solicitation or fundraiser? Well, March of Dimes. Okay, St. Jude, Autism Speaks, right? What they do, Alzheimer's Association, what they do is they have the main platform where you can donate, and then any person who wants to be a part of their big event, most of them have walks or 5K runs or whatever the case may be. For the big event, you can, air quote, create a team, wink, wink, peer-to-peer, fundraising, create a team, and then fundraise for your team on behalf of the organization. All the money's still getting funneled to one organization, but there's multiple hundreds, if not thousands of people, right, who are sharing and talking about this opportunity. And then from there, from the teams that individuals create, they could create those people from those teams could create a new team or subgroup, right, to help fundraise. So that is an option. Okay. Another option is stewardship funds. Okay. Stewardships involves making personal thank you calls to donors and sending thank you emails to or handwritten cards to share the impact of the donor's gift. I have the system, the program that we use or software that we use does that automatically. And so I don't ever have to necessarily worry about doing that individually. But one strategy we have done, the board that I serve on, one strategy that we like to do is twice a year we'll get together and we'll do a call-a-thon with all the donors and all of the and everyone on our email list. And we'll just say, how can we pray for you? What is it that you need from us, you know, from us? How can we help, you know, best support you and what you have going on, right? And you'd be surprised. Money is flooding the mailboxes that way. Man, does it cost nothing to just say thank you. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. People want to know that they're feeling loved and heard and validated. That's just all they want. That's all they want. And it don't cost them a lot of money to do that. If you have their email, send them an email. You know, if they give electronically, give them, you know, have it set up in their donation receipt, right? Give a shout out on social media and tag them, you know, come up with your own miniature newsletter or press release that you can send out highlighting the donor of the month. Those are things that make giving more worth it. And it helps to get your board engaged. If they understand the different techniques that they can use, right, to cultivate those relationships, it'll help make fundraising a whole lot smoother, and you don't have to be salesy to do so. So that's all I got for you. I hope this episode was amazing. Hey, if you want to sign up for my email list and learn about all of the cool grants that's coming out that you probably won't find, or if you're looking to learn how the hell do I start a nonprofit and have no idea where to start, what to do, definitely go to nonprofitunplug.com or nonprofitunplug.com/workbook. Either one. One is going to be to sign up for the email list for all the cool goodies that I have. And then nonprofitunplug.com/workbook is where you can go to get your free workbook to figure out or learn exactly how to start and grow and scale your nonprofit within 45 days or less. Okay. Next thing, the Master Grant Writing Coaching Course is officially open. Woohoo! The link to that will be in the description. It is a 90-day mastermind. Yes, 90 whole days. Okay. Now, you don't have to stay the full 90 days. All of the content will be released for you. You can work at your own pace. There is a free community within the course itself. So everyone could go in there and brainstorm and share their successes, their wins, the whole nine. The cost of the course is where it's going to be for life. It's a lifetime price right now. It is $1,497 for the course. This course is great if you are looking to hire a grant writer and you want to give them some training on how to write a grant and how to be more efficient in their grant writing skills. Definitely go to mastergrantwriting.thinkific.com/courses, and then so on and so forth. The link will be in the description. And, you know, if you are wanting to learn how to make some money being a freelance grant writer, this course is for you. If you are not wanting to hire a grant writer because it's too expensive and you need a grant writer for your organization and you're willing to do it, or at least tell your daughter, son, cousin, nephew, niece, whoever, how to write a grant, you need to get this course. This course is designed literally for a beginner. Anyone in kindergarten or first grade can do the course. Honestly, like it is really, I've really put the time into making it very easy and not difficult. I don't know how to say that, but difficult free. And I have a bunch of bonus content in there.
how to train a board, how to get board members, how to train your board members, right? How to leverage or scale in your nonprofit. And no, everything isn't by charity, all right? All that good stuff is going to be in the course for the mastermind, okay? We will have live weekly Q&A calls and sessions with me. If you want them, they're there, core, okay? So definitely go to the course. Definitely go check it out. Definitely. It's way worth it. It's way, way worth it. The value of that course is well over $25,000. And I had to do some collaborations and twist some arms and donate a kidney dang near, you know, just to get what we got in there. So you don't want to fall behind. You want to know everything you need to know up front. You can walk away with my course and become a very competent grant writer, grant consultant, and of your own, and make some extra money and actually start winning grants and getting awarded. And it truly does eliminate the guesswork on what to do, when to do it, and why. All right. So definitely go check that out. As always, thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you rate, comment, and subscribe, and share the content. Nothing else. Give the gift of giving, right? And share this with a friend or a loved one or someone that you know who could benefit. It costs you nothing to share, but it could cost you everything if you don't take action. All right. I love y'all, and I can't wait to see you on top.
You've been listening to Nonprofit Unplugged. Please rate and comment this show for more amazing content.